Our memory verse for this month is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and in verse 1, where it says, "To everything there is a season and a time for every event under heaven," or the New King James says, a time for every purpose under heaven. Each time, each phase of life has to be treated in the manner that's appropriate for that set of events. You can't live life the same way all your life. I know a lot of people try to be still children when they're adults, but things change as you go through life. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 11, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, it says, "He has made everything appropriate in his time, and he has set eternity in their hearts, and yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end." There is everything is appropriate in its time, is what we want to take focus on. So many people create problems for themselves trying to slow down and stop the flow of time, attempting to hang on to past seasons instead of adapting to the current ones. The goal is, though, is to enjoy each season for what it presents to you, both the good and the bad. In fact, take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility." You don't know what the future is going to hold. You don't know what tomorrow is going to have. And what Solomon is saying is, why not enjoy today? It's pleasant while it's sunny. Enjoy it. And yes, there's going to be dark times, but you can still find some joy even in the hard times. But to waste the fun times of today because you're worried about tomorrow, and you don't even know what tomorrow is, that's an act of futility. So let's talk about the various seasons of life. When you're young, when you're in youth, the springtime of the year, that's the time that you're preparing for life. Youth is a fleeting time, but it needs to be enjoyed. Again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow in the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." This is a time to try out different things, to see what works and what doesn't work with you. It's fine to follow your impulses as long as you're not sinning. That doesn't lead you into a path of sin, but you know, if you want to go see if you like to play the guitar, then go try out the guitar. You think you want to go, you know, for a trip someplace, then go for a trip. This is the time to do things that, you know, when you get older, it looks a little impulsive. But you're experimenting, you're trying things, and that is fine. Like I said, as long as it doesn't keep you out, put you into trouble. It's also a time for innocence. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is explaining why these people were making it to promised lands and their parents didn't. And he says in verse 39, he says, "Moreover, your little ones whom you said would become prey, and your sons who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I shall give it to them, and they shall possess it." Children little children don't have this concept of right and wrong where it morally applies to them directly. They know, well, dad or mom says this is right and this is wrong, but they don't fully grasp that it applies to them. There's a time when it does start to register that I'm responsible for the choices that I make. But until that time, it should be a time of innocence. It's a time also of idealism. You know, youth is a time to imagine what life ought to be like. And teenagers get so disappointed when they find out that life isn't the ideal that they thought it should be. That's why you get a lot of teenagers who say, it's not fair! Yeah, you're right. Life isn't fair. Get used to it. Because this is what life is. In fact, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and look at verse 11. I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability. For time and chance overtakes them all. Sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's just the way life is. Youth is also a time for parents to instill in their children good habits. We go over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The things that you learn as a child, they stay with you. They're the impulsive response to various situations. And so it's a childhood that we try to get a person to understand what they need to do and how to behave. Even in youth, we got to remember God will judge us. And youth have this strong tendency to focus solely on the here and the now. They don't often think about what this action leads to in the future. Youth is a time when life revolves around impulses and desires. And again, it's not wrong as long as you're not desiring what is wrong. Youth also, though, can be a time when they can demonstrate faithfulness to God. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example to those who believe. Too many people want to excuse the misbehaviors of young people. And say, well, they're just children. They're not responsible. The answer is, yes, they are responsible. They are going to be judged. They need to set good habits. They ought to set the example for others, even adults. Of course, we don't stay young, despite Peter Pan. We tend to grow up. And so we become the adults, the summertime, the season of production. As adults, the apron strings are then cut. It's time to forge a new life on your own. In Genesis chapter 2, after God had created man and woman, he says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and to be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. There's three steps involved. You leave your parents, you join to someone else as your spouse, and those two become a new family. There are instructions that are given for wives, they're found in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 22. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. And there's also instructions to husbands here, starting with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, and having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. With marriage comes family. And it's during our young adulthood that we become parents raising up children. In Psalms chapter 127, Psalms 127, and starting with verse 3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. And as you get older, you find out why typically young adults have children. They're tiring. They can wear you out. You have the energy when you're younger to do so. It's also, young adulthood is also the time of strength. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 again, this time verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol where you're going. This is the time. Do what you do with all your effort. You can use your ability to profit. In chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes. Oh, sorry, Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 verse 4. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in a harvest is a son who acts shamefully. While things are available, work hard. Use the profit. When we read about the description of the excellent wife in Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. Next one will be Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 31 and in verse 15. Notice the description of how hard she works. She rises also while it's still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. Here's a woman who puts effort into everything she does. And it describes the efforts of a young wife. And there's satisfaction in the accomplishments which you make. In Ecclesiastes 5 and in verse 12, the sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. But just like youth has to remember that God's there going to judge us, we have to remember that too in our adulthood. If God isn't involved in what we're producing, well, you're just building a house of cards. It's going to collapse. Take a look at Psalms chapter 127 again. Psalms chapter 127, this time verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Without God, there's no actual accomplishment. That means that those things that we learn as children about what's right and wrong, we need to continue in those things that we've learned. Take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And starting with verse 14. Second Timothy 3 and verse 14. You, however, continue in the things that you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. But there is also a tendency that we got to be careful of when we're adults. There's a tendency to think that anything you decide to do can be done. You, after all, you have the strength, you can make it work. I remember times when helping my dad do things, and he would say, well, it's not fitting. And he says, it's time for the gentle persuader, and he pulls out the sledgehammer. A lot of times we think we can force things to work. And it's because we have the strength that we realize, hey, I can overcome obstacles. But then there's the danger of pride. You begin to think that you have the right to do anything because you can make it happen. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. We can't let pride take over our attitude and our outlook in life. But time continues to march on. As much as we might like the summertime, eventually fall arrives. That's the time of maturity, the season of provisions. Your strength fades, but it's replaced with skill and wisdom. Over in Proverbs 20 and verse 29. It says, the glory of young men is in their strength. The honor of old men is in their gray hair. You might not be able to work harder, but as you get older, you learn how to work smarter. And in many ways, maturity is actually the most fruitful phase of our life. It's a time to mature in what we know. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is the time to grow. This is the time to mature. This is the time to put all that information to use. It's also a time for us to pass on the things that we've learned. In Hebrews chapter 5, and in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." But notice he started out, "This time you ought to be teachers." That's what the mature ought to be. Passing on the things that they've learned. The good and the bad. So the next group won't make the same mistakes. So they have a boost in the things that they need to know and do. Our older age also is time for us to broaden our concerns. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. A lot of times as we are young adults, kids are focused on themselves. And when you get to adulthood, a lot of your focus is on your family. But as you mature, it needs to broaden. And look at what other people need around you, beyond the limits of your family. And now is the time for us to raise our eyes and see that the horizon encompasses more than we've previously imagined. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of faith." And time continues to march on. And winter sets in. We're elderly. And that's the season of perseverance. And preservation. Strength might be gone, but it doesn't mean life has stopped. Because true strength is not in the body, but in the spirit. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, when you get old, it's a time of loss. Friends die. Family die. And eventually even our beloved spouse. And for many, the time for work comes to an end. But those who have invested wisely in the Lord, it's also a time of honor. Going back to Proverbs, this time Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and in verse 31. It says, "The gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness." Now, if we wait until old age and then say, "Then I'll start being righteous. Then I'll start following God." We won't have the strength to invest into that. In fact, that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes warns about in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" You put in the effort young, and you reap the harvest when you're older. Wisdom and understanding come to the aged because of the time they spent in their younger days. Take a look back at Job. Job chapter 12 and in verse 12. Wisdom is with aged men. With long life is understanding. And so there, in this time frame, it's the time to preserve our experience in the minds of those we have to leave behind. All that information, all that knowledge you gained, all that experience that you learned, you need to pass it on. Take a look at Job chapter 32. And in verse 7, Elihu scolds Job because he says, I thought age should speak, and increased years should teach wisdom. And he's right. That is what older people ought to do. And so you find in Titus, Paul gives instructions to Titus to teach the older men and the older women. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so they may encourage young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. As you approach the end of life, that's the time to endure. The difficult time in a race is not at the beginning of a race, when you're full of energy. It's those last few laps, when your energy is failing. That's the hard time to win a race. But we're told that we need to hold on until the end. In Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, and in verse 14, for we will have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. In other words, when you get old, it's not a time for complacency. It's a time for diligence, because there's things that still need to be accomplished and there's not much time left. You go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love with which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. We need to learn how to enjoy each season of life. Yoko Ono wrote a poem that's called Seasons of Glass. Spring passes and one remembers one's innocence. Summer passes and one remembers one's exuberance. Autumn passes and one remembers one's reverence. Winter passes and one remembers one's perseverance. I found another interesting story that would apply well with this. Someone said, when we were growing up years ago in our sleepy southern town, most of the adults seemed rather staid and sober. There was, however, one memorial exception, Miss Lucy, a widow lady, who lived in her prim with her prim and proper sister Clara. But Miss Lucy was full of charm and sparkle and enthusiasm. And one day, Miss Lucy, in her 60s, asserted that she could still stand on her head. And we looked doubtful. She clamped her skirts between her knees and did so, beaming at us upside down. "Oh, Lucy," said Clara, "do be your age." And Lucy righted herself. "Well, what sort of nonsense is that?" she said. "How can anyone be anything but their age? The trick is to love your age. Love it when you're young and strong and foolish. Love it when you're old and wise. Love it in the middle when challenges come and you can solve some of them, maybe most of them. If you love your age, you'll never go around wishing that you were some other age." Think about that, Clara. See, life changes. Our abilities change. Don't ask me to stand on my head. But each is a wonder and a challenge. One last poem by Johnny Roberts. "I'm not growing old. They say I'm growing old. I've heard them say it times untold, in language plain and bold, but I'm not growing old. This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well, but I'm not growing old. What if my hair has turned gray? Gray hair is honorable, they say. What if my eyesight's growing dim? I can still see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me there on the cross of Calvary. Why should I care if time's old plow has dug some furrows in my brow? Another house, not made with hands, awaits me in the glory land. My hearing may not be as keen as in the past, as it may have been. Still, I can hear my Savior say, 'Come, faltering child, this is the way.' The outward man, do what I can to lengthen his life's short span, shall perish and return to dust, as everything in nature must. But the inward man, the scriptures say, the inward man is growing stronger every day. Then how can I be growing old? I'm safe within the Savior's fold. Ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tent of clay. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'll meet you on the streets of gold and prove I'm not growing old." I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time to start in preparation for a life of full reward. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of their brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.